There's supposed to be a new scheduling block done for all of the Stanford high schools starting next fall. But not everyone loves this idea, including a lot of the teachers and even students and parents. In fact, we heard about a protest that was going to take place ahead of the next board meeting in Stanford. And joining us now to talk a little bit more about what's going on, help us to understand it a little bit better, is John Corcoran, who is the Stanford Education Association president. John, welcome to the show. And tell us, could you help us to understand what exactly this new scheduling looks like? Why is there controversy around it?
Good morning, Melissa, and thank you for having me. Absolutely. So the schedule, which is a mishmash, if that's the correct term for it, does a couple different things. It is designed, according to administration, a 4x4 schedule for some students, which means instead of taking a class every other day, which is under the current schedule in Stanford, what we call an AB schedule, and finishing it over 186 days every other day, they're going to jam everything that takes 1 year to do into, call it, 90 days. The concern there is if a student's out for 2 or 3 days or a teacher's out for 2 or 3 days, how far does a student or students fall behind?
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, a mishmash of a schedule, some students, for instance, in the English language arts area or in the social studies area, will continue on that schedule of every other day. And the reason why they're going to continue on that schedule is so that the teachers can also perform what is known as collateral duty, maybe do a study hall, maybe do a lunch. But the main concern is how much can a child absorb in 84 minutes of a class next year, go home, possibly struggle with a homework assignment, misunderstand what the teacher had, and the next day the teacher's driving forward because there's a certain amount of academia that's got to get done in order for the student to complete the class.
I have just like questions as you're outlining this. First, so there's two parts of this that I hear what you're saying, which is the teachers. I mean, I worry about the teachers if they have either something health related, kid related at home, family, a death in the family, they go on maternity leave. I mean, I just think there are so many unknowns there that I feel like the pressure on the teacher to get that curriculum done, and then they get blamed when the student does fall behind. And then on the other side of it, I also think about the student, and I'm wondering if this is, you know, maybe on the surface, okay, they get to really hyper-focus on something, and so maybe that's why they want to do it. But to me, what we saw after the pandemic is that so many kids had learning loss and were trying to play catch-up still. I'm very confused as to why this got support, because it is moving forward, right?
It is moving forward, and so that you and the public understand, in our contract in the city of Stanford for teachers, the Board of Education, through the superintendent and her cabinet, have the right to dictate what schedule is given. And that was what was done with us during the contract negotiation year. We have the right to bargain its impact on our teachers. So, for instance, the superintendent and the board could come to the union presidents tomorrow and say, next year, school is going to run from 8 to 4. We wouldn't be able to stop that. What we would be able to do is bargain the impact on our members. Is it more hours of teaching? Do they need more self-directed time to prepare and grade papers and call parents? So, you know, this was proposed in 2022, and at the witching hour of August 15th, they couldn't get the schedule to go. What they do is kids sign up for classes, and they have a scheduler at each high school. They then, based on what child or student has chosen what classes, goes to the department heads, and then they tell them, we need, I'm going to make it up, 8 math teachers for this, 12 language arts teachers for that. And then they put that into what they call an engine, and then the computer does all the work and spits out schedules. My understanding, in the summer of 2022 or late spring of 2022, only 61% to 63% of the schedules could be completed. So that left, you know, 38-39% of the kids without a schedule that would have to be manually done. They just couldn't get it done.
Right. So that's why they're doing it now.
Yeah. And so they're trying it again.
So they failed. So they tried to get this done. If I understand this, John Corcoran, they tried to get this done this year, I guess, that we're in, and it didn't happen in time. So they're trying it again.
They tried it in 2022.
Okay.
It didn't work.
Okay.
So they went to the AB current schedule.
Okay.
A little different this year. And again, the concern is, and I was at the board meeting last night. They have a regular monthly board meeting. Mm-hmm. It's usually the last Tuesday of the month. We did have a rally and a protest. My count, over 100 parents, students, and teachers who then made their way upstairs, and you sign up to speak, and we all spoke. The issue becomes central office in Stanford. Many questions have been asked about this schedule. And not that it falls on deaf ears. I think they hear the questions, but they don't have the answers. So how many times that we've asked questions and it's just like blank air, like you can hear a pin drop.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Now, and so nobody seems to have answers. Where's the data? People keep asking, where's the data to show that this schedule works? What's the success rate? What we keep hearing is it's about the graduation rates. Now, that's not my bailiwick, but what I can tell you is with the number, I may be off a little bit, Melissa, about 40% of our students are either at the proficient level or grade level based on standardized testing or SBAC, Smarter Balanced Assessment, that the state requires districts to give.
Mm-hmm.
But close to 95% of our kids are graduating. So where's the disconnect?
Right.
And we worry that we're graduating kids
who are not ready.
Who are not ready to, not ready to move on. So where's that disconnect that more than double who are not proficient or at grade level are graduating?
So we have John Corcoran here, who is the Stanford Education Association president, and we're talking about this new schedule they're going to try to put it into effect for this next fall. And I say that because it failed to do so in 2022. You know what worries me here, John, is going back to your initial point, which is that you can bargain, as you said, but your hands are sort of tied. Whatever the board and the superintendent decide to do, you have to do. I don't love that. I don't know if there's a way to change that. And obviously, I don't know if I'm opening Pandora's box by saying that, but I feel like you're lacking a lot of educators' input before you make these massive decisions. And they're not really given the opportunity to kind of be at the table to say, hey, I see why you want to do this maybe, but it's not going to work because of X, Y, and Z before they make that kind of a decision. I get the bargaining aspect, but it feels like decisions are made and the majority of teachers are not really included in those decisions. I feel like that's a huge disconnect.
Well, it is, and I appreciate you recognizing that. The contract language in most districts, public school districts in the state of Connecticut are basically the same, where we don't have the right to bargain schedules. But here's the problem, and you hit it on the head, Melissa. None of the stakeholders, including teachers, administrators, students, parents, community members, in fact, were brought to the table. It was, here's what we're going to do, and you're going to follow along. And that's the tendency. I can speak for Stanford. I'm finishing up my third term as president, is here's what we're going to do, not this is what we're thinking. What are your thoughts? Not even so much as to go through the motions and bring us all to the table and say, what are your thoughts? What are your concerns? What do you like? What do you think's not going to work? And the problem with any central office, in my opinion, of public school education is, because you mentioned COVID, could I personally, I don't teach anymore because mine's a full-time job. Could I go back to the classroom? Yeah, I could. What I actually wanted, to be honest,
there
no,
it is.
Because the amount.
There it is. You hit it, John. That was my next point. Yep. Was when you have this type of a system, who in the world is going to want to teach?
Right.
Who's going to want to teach under that system? We don't respect you. We don't want to hear what you have to say. This is what you're going to do. And I'm not saying that is what the board and the superintendent saying. But when you make a decision like this, here's the thing. If I wanted to serve on the board of education in my town or city, here's why I won't. I'm not an educator.
Right.
To me, I've always said this, and I've asked the state even to say, hey, could there be some kind of a statute, or and maybe it comes down to the municipalities, but to me, when you have a board of education in towns and cities, to me, I feel like you have to have, and I don't know, maybe I'm throwing a random number out there, but 25%, 50% of it has to be somebody who's been in that school district for an X amount of years. I just think it's a huge disservice when you're going to make this kind of a decision, and you're not asking the people who are in the classrooms. Like, I don't know what goes on in the classroom. I could report on what's going on, but I don't know. Right. I'm not a teacher. I think that's lunacy. I'm sorry.
Well, and I did mention, and I appreciate that, I did mention when I spoke last night, you know, our board in Stamford is 9. The mayor sits on the Board of Education, but is not a voting member. And, of course, I heard it on your station this morning, you know, that she had given birth, and she did. So she's not even attending any meetings right now. Congratulations to Mayor Simmons. But too much politics is played. I didn't realize. I kind of knew there was politics in Stamford, I'm sure, in every other district. But I mentioned the last statement I said to them last night was, you have to stop playing politics with kids' education. Mm-hmm. The Democrats versus the Republicans versus, you know, the PCC in the city of Stamford. And that's a huge issue when they're playing with a child's education and they're doing things across, you know, on party lines because it's 6 Democrats and 3 Republicans in Stamford.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, and as far as I would believe any union's concerned, but certainly the SEA, is we don't care about your politics.
Right.
We don't care at all.
Just do what's right by my kids. Yeah.
That's
and
it.
The teachers, especially. And, I mean, you got the CEA today going up to the Capitol talking about trying to get teacher retention and attracting teachers and the teacher shortages. I mean, this speaks to it. If I were going into a teacher's position, or I was coming out of retirement to be a teacher, and I found out I was going to a district where I am dictated to and that I have to bargain to, but I can't really like get out of a deal. It's like, this is what it is. You're going to adjust to it. And it's like, okay, so I have to bargain if I need more teaching hours or more after school, whatever. It's not working. I don't see where teachers would want to work in that kind of a manner. And I'm not saying I have all the answers here, John, but
right.
I certainly don't know if that's the answer.
And I'll piggyback on what you just said. As of this morning, now, my number may be off 1 or 2 because it fluctuates and changes. Last night before the Board of Ed meeting, I signed 35-plus retirement letters, letters that are going out to our retirees and because we have a retirement dinner for them. So that's the largest number of retirees we've had. I couldn't tell you in how many years.
Wow.
And we have over 65 resignations already. We count the resignations from roughly August 15th of 2024 through, let's say, the end of the school year. That's kind of how we monitor the resignations. I would venture to guess, because of the last 2 years, we'll have well over 100 resignations. Now, the superintendent and her cabinet will say, well, you know, there's 1,500 plus teachers, so that only represents 6% or 7%. Over 100 teachers resigning because of working conditions, a variety of different things that we could talk for hours about. And now a large number of our teachers resigning. Somebody's got to sit down and go, why is this?
Why is that happening?
We average a third of our resignations, depending on the week we talk, come from our special education world. Nobody's getting into special education anymore either. And that's a shame. They do God's work. There's no doubt about it.
No question. No question. And John, so, unfortunately, I'm up against the clock, but I'm glad that I could at least have you come on to explain what's going on in Stamford and also to have people get involved with this. And I would love to meet you in person at some point. I know we have a lot of your teachers coming on the diner tour tomorrow, so I'm very excited about that.
Yes, and I will see you there tomorrow. I will be there.
I look forward to it, John. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate
it. Thank you, and I appreciate your time. You enjoy the day.
Thank you. You too.